Hello, this is Dr. Maya Shetreat Klein, and today we'll be mapping forest bathing on the 15-minute matrix.
Welcome to the 15-minute matrix. I'm Andrea Nakayama, functional medicine nutritionist and your host. This is the podcast that brings you bite-sized insights and lessons on how to use the most important tool in functional medicine and functional nutrition. Today, I'll be talking with Dr. Maya Shetreat Klein. Dr. Maya is a neurologist, herbalist, urban farmer, and author of The Dirt Cure, Healthy Food, Healthy Gut, Happy Child, published in 2016 and now translated into 10 languages. She's been featured in the New York Times, The Telegraph, NPR, and many other media platforms. Board certified in adult and child neurology, as well as pediatrics, Dr. Maya completed the University of Arizona's fellowship in integrative medicine and now serves on their faculty. She works and studies with indigenous communities and healers in Ecuador. In her book and in her practice, Dr. Maya offers an integrative and spiritual approach to allow moving beyond chronic health problems. She also founded the Terrain Institute, where she teaches an earth-based program for transformational healing. Let's take a deep breath and step in to some forest bathing. Welcome, Dr. Maya. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you.
Thank you for having me.
So I'd like us to first quickly presence the conversation by explaining what forest bathing is and also why it's important to you.
Forest bathing is really, I think it's something that many people do and enjoy and have enjoyed for, you know, all of eternity, but it's a concept that comes from this practice of in Japan called Shinrin Yoku, and that literally translates to forest bathing, which means immersing yourself in the beauty of the forest. And for me, it's incredibly important because I feel very connected to nature, very connected to plants and trees and the beauty of the forest, and because I feel so peaceful and so wonderful in that environment, I looked into the science of it and found that there were so many health benefits as well.
I love that. I love that we get to speak into the science and the health benefits of being in nature. And so just to articulate it a little bit more, it doesn't mean bathing in waters in the forest. It actually means bathing in the entire forest environment, bathing sort of in quotes.
Yeah, like immersing yourself in it, really, just being in the forest in a peaceful way. I mean, but I also trail run, actually. So I go running through the forest. I walk my dog in the forest. I might go foraging for mushrooms in the forest. So there's a lot of different ways. Some people will bring their kids and go geocaching in the forest, where they're using kind of doing a digital kind of treasure hunt, but in the beauty of the forest. So they're kind of combining technology and the beauty of the forest. And that is, I think, also a form of forest bathing.
So I love that you brought that up because I was going to ask you the difference between forest bathing and hiking. And it sounds like any time we spend in the forest can be considered forest bathing. It doesn't have to be sitting there and meditating or taking in the sights and sounds and smells. It can be any time we immerse ourselves in the forest.
Well, I think we are always, when we're in the forest, we are immersing ourselves in the sights and sounds and smells. It's just how we choose to, you know, be in our bodies in that time. And I mean, I think absolutely, sitting in a meditative way is something I highly recommend doing for even a few minutes of time, any time that you're in the forest. But I think there's a lot of different kinds of activities or reasons that we might end up in the forest. And all of those all of those still can confer the benefits and the, you know, both spiritual and health benefits of being in the forest.
So why, Dr. Maya, why are there health benefits related to immersing ourselves in the forest environment?
Well, that's a pretty complex question, actually, and I think would take a lot of unpacking, but I'll say very briefly that, you know, the forest is sort of a really complex universe of its own, and it has its own microbiome, and it has its own communities in it, some of which are obvious and visible, and some of which are invisible, you know, and under the soil and connected through roots and you know, mycelium and other things and microbes that are going on. And I think, like, the air, you know, that we're breathing is actually, like, it feels very different. The smells are different. So our amygdalas are being activated in different ways by that, by the different scents of the forest. And, you know, I think, like, there's a different vibration in the forest. Mm-hmm. We feel also a sense of awe very often. I know I do, in the forest. And there's actually beautiful science around experiencing awe and mm-hmm. how balancing that is to our bodies and our brains and our creative minds. So I think there's a lot of layers to why.
Right. It puts everything into perspective. And for one, it brings us to one of your favorite topics, which is dirt, right? The dirt that we're exposed to there is going to be so much more rich and diverse than what we might experience elsewhere.
Absolutely, because in the forest, there is typically a lot more kind of, we permit, you know, as humans, we permit more messiness in the forest, as opposed to, let's say, in our lawns or in our parks or other places like that. So that messiness, allowing trees to fall and just decompose, allowing the leaves to fall, we're not blowing them away, we're not bagging them in plastic bags and sending them off to landfills. Everything is there. Everything is breaking down. We allow the mushrooms. We're hopefully not spraying with a lot of pesticides and other things. So this community that's there is as rich and diverse and complex as an environment really can be.
I love that. So in functional medicine and functional nutrition, we'd likely categorize forest bathing as a form of meditation and a mediator, something that helps symptoms to, in this case, improve. What else does forest bathing mediate for us in the physiological realm?
Well, from the standpoint of, are you thinking in terms of, like, biological markers, or are you thinking of symptoms?
You know, both. Just even thinking about things like, is there a connection to immune health or to stress hormones, or for you, like, to our neurological benefits? So less really about markers, although if you have seen that research, I'd love to hear about it, but more just in the realm of our biological systems and mm-hmm. how we function.
Yeah, all of the above. So from a neurological standpoint, and this has all been studied because Shinrin Yoku in Japan is such a common practice, it's actually looked at as a form of preventive medicine. So there are great studies, especially coming out of Japan and Asia, where this has been looked at carefully. So from a neurologic standpoint, sleep improves, sense of well-being improves, focus and executive function improves, so cognition is even better. From the standpoint of, like, adrenal, let's say, is like cortisol levels actually go down, and that's been measured. And from the standpoint of immune function, there are studies showing that anti-cancer proteins and natural killer cells mm-hmm. increase
right
when we spend time in the forest. So there's a tremendous number of benefits that are really layered one on top of the other, because of course, when you feel really stressed out and you're not sleeping well, of course your focus and executive function are going to be you know,
compromised.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's really where we start to see all the biological systems create a web. And it looks like, or it sounds like, when we get into the forest and we're forest bathing, we start to address multiple things. It's not just this for that. It's actually touching many areas in our well-being.
Well, and that's what I love, because, you know, we're always thinking about, well, what about this pharmaceutical, right, or what about this supplement, or what about this mineral, or, you know, and when it comes to things that we find in the natural world, but particularly something of this nature that's really an experience, it touches us in so many ways and really objectively measurable ways that there's no pharmaceutical, there's no supplement that can really replace an experience, which is an immersive experience, first of all, that brings joy and a sense of well-being, but then impacts us literally on a physiologic and physical basis in so many different categories.
Yeah, the most bang for our buck, just get in the forest and start walking. How about walking barefoot? What's your perception about the whole concept of earthing? Can we move into that arena a bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think earthing is vastly underutilized. So the earth is an unlimited supply of electrons that are flowing forth. And when we are in direct physical contact, and that means even with shoes on, but they have to be conductive surfaces. So if you're wearing a rubber-soled shoe, then you're not experiencing that flow of electrons. But it turns out that earthing, in that direct context, sitting on a rock, lying down on the ground, walking barefoot, working in the garden, all those different things actually can reduce levels of inflammation in the body, increase sense of well-being, reduce cortisol levels, many, many of the same things, improve sleep. And there's, again, quite a bit of data on this. So, but I love that we can really reduce inflammation simply by being in direct contact with the ground, or hugging a tree, or sitting on a rock.
Yeah, then it makes it something that everybody can do. We don't need to go for a forest run. We could literally get ourselves to the forest and plop ourselves on the dirt and experience many of these benefits that you're talking about.
Absolutely. Really, it has to do with, right, when we talk about this immersive experience of forest bathing, so earthing or grounding is about direct contact. Like we talk about, like, you know, skin to skin with babies. So this is sort of like skin to skin with the earth.
Yeah. So as a neurologist in practice, how do you bring earthing and forest bathing in from a clinical perspective?
I mean, I happen to work in New York City. So many of my patients are from all around the world, but I encourage people to go outside, and it's amazing. Some people are excited to do it and want to increase that kind of activity in their lives, and other people are really resistant sometimes, but it's really just getting outside, which can be, you're sitting there, you have to do work. Take your manuscript, or take your phone, or take your computer, or take your book, and go sit outside on the ground. If you have a park near you, even, because sometimes getting to the forest is not something you can do every single day, then go hug a tree, take a blanket and sit outside and have lunch.
I'm so lucky to live in the Pacific Northwest, where we have just, you know, access to trees and dirt and all sorts of things that we can immerse ourselves in to gain some of these benefits. I'm wondering, Dr. Maya, when did this become important to you? Can you just give us a little insight into what happened for you that made this such a profound offering that you wanted to give to your patients?
I mean, I think I've always felt really connected to nature. I grew up in a suburban area outside of Washington, D.C., but I often went hiking on weekends. And I mean, I think I've always felt that strong connection with gardening, with hiking. And I think over time, I've become an herbalist. I've done a lot of work with plant medicines. I've studied with indigenous communities. And so actually, you know, I also feel like I have a really powerful relationship with the natural world, and I felt such benefits from being in the forest that it's something that I wanted to share.
I love this. Is there any one last thing that you feel like we didn't cover that you want to make sure that the practitioners listening today know about forest bathing?
I think we've covered everything, but I would just say, you know, first of all, as practitioners, it's really important that you're doing this for yourselves if you're going to be telling your patients to do the same. And also just don't be intimidated. It can be bite-sized. It can be as simple as going and spending 60 seconds sitting on the ground and breathing in and out. And it can be as beautifully complicated as a big, massive hiking trip that's several days long. I mean, there's the gamut, and nature's kind of out there waiting for you.
Thank you, Dr. Maya.
Thank you.
The 15-Minute Matrix is brought to you by me, Andrea Nakayama, and the Functional Nutrition Alliance. The 15-Minute Matrix team includes my son, Gilbert Nakayama, on sound production, Renee Hunt, Natalie Merrill, and Christine Shook. And our amazing design is thanks to my dear friend, Pamela Geismar. You can visit us and hear more episodes at www.15minutematrix.com. And if you'd like to get my therapeutic diet matrix and be notified each time there's a new podcast episode, please go to www.15minutematrix.com/diets. That's www.15minutematrix.com/diets. And if you're interested in becoming a student or a graduate of the Practitioner Training Division of the Functional Nutrition Alliance, previously called Holistic Nutrition Lab, you'll now find us at Functional Nutrition Lab. You can go to www.functionalnutritionlab.com to learn more, because the doors to the class of 2018 are now open. And please do email us about the podcast. We want to know who you'd like to hear on the podcast and what you'd like to see mapped on the 15-Minute Matrix. You can always email us at ask@15minutematrix.com. That's ask@15minutematrix.com.
Should I say it?
Mm-hmm.
Hello. This is Dr. Maya Shetreat Klein, and today we'll be we'll do that again. Okay.